I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The guy on our Canadian 50, William Lyon Mackenzie King, I have definitely talked about this before, was like pen pals with Hitler because they were both into spooky shit. Like, he governed Canada based on dreams and like weird shit that his schizophrenic mother would tell him. Listen to the Lore Boys talk about Green Lantern or Vampire Hunter D. I hear the Lore Boys, Ethan and Jamie. I think I see someone. Pete. All these episodes, none of them for me. That's right. Today we're doing the Lord's work and sticking it to the Nazis. To the Nazi war machine with Wolfenstein. This one was requested by patrons Bray and XD Drifty Z and backed up by Hype Man. You want to guess?
Hondolo.
Braggled Link this time.
Yeah, there you go.
Slacking. I maybe he's training an apprentice. I don't fucking know. So if you guys want to join these absolute legends, you can join our Discord in the link in the description or email us at loreboysPodcast@gmail.com. That is how we track what you want to hear. I am your highest leader, Peter O'Donoghue, and joining me are...
I'm Ethan, not the guy you heard whispering at the start of the show. That's a special guest for later.
I'm James, and I'm known best for the scene in the game where I take off my shirt and I'm pregnant and I'm shooting guns while I'm covered in blood and my boobies are out.
Yes, yeah, that was you may have thought that was Anya Oliwa. That was actually Jamie that scene in the second new Wolfenstein game.
I never thought it was Anya Oliwa. I always thought it was Jamie, yeah.
Maybe it was just me then. Never mind. It's just me that I thought that pregnant lady was a different person.
No, it's definitely Jamie, for sure. I mean, it's unmistakable when you look at it.
That's true. Yeah. So I've actually only played three Wolfenstein games. I played the one from 1992 on iPhone, since my gamer neighbor when I was young had Rise of the Triad on his PC, not Doom or Wolfenstein. And then I've played the New Order and the New Colossus, who are two of the more recent games. So what's y'all's experience with shooting, stabbing, and strangling Nazis?
I have played one of them. One of the two new ones. So it went New Order, then Old Blood?
Mm-hmm.
As he's taking a big drink, I'm asking him a question. As he like sets us up to talk for a bit about what we've done, so he takes a big, big old swig of beer.
Yeah.
I played New Order for a little bit, didn't like it, never touched it. I didn't get through the first mission. When you're like on the beach and you're like crawling through like the destroyed like mechs and everything and like the ships. I didn't get through that mission. I said, this isn't for me.
Huh. Luckily, I'm registered to a website that shows all my achievements from all platforms. And it's the New Colossus that I played.
Okay, yeah, that's the second newest one. There's also Youngblood, which is on Game Pass and like was received poorly because it was like a buggy co-op shooter with like RPG elements, so like your guns just didn't do enough damage if you were underleveled, which is fucking stupid.
Right.
And I know there was like a checkpoint issue where your ammo would be consumed between checkpoints. Ooh. So if you got killed too many times on the last boss, you would just have no bullets left over. So a bunch of people got like hard locked out of the ending of the game because they would just run out of ammunition and with no way to restore it.
Good.
Yeah, I'm glad that was tested.
That's why we have certification now. That's why people are responsible for this.
I can't believe I've spent 51 hours in Dragon Age Inquisition. I need to get off this website. But oh my god.
I'm going to play Youngblood now, at least. It's on Game Pass, and like reading about Wolfenstein and replaying New Colossus got me into it, and like it's the next one in the timeline, so I figure I might as well. You play as BJ's, or the main character's, twin daughters now in the 80s. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so I love New Colossus, personally, and the New Order. Old Blood is fine. It's a standalone DLC set in the 40s. It's actually a prequel to the New Order, like, setting up how you find the castle that's like part of the beach invasion in the intro of the first new one.
The one that I played is excellent. Like, it got me really mad at my dad and Hitler. And like, well,
yeah. And my dad, Adolf Hitler. I bet you guys didn't know that Ethan Palmer is what do you call it when you rearrange all the words or all the
an
letters?
Anagram.
An anagram. I was like, acronym. That's not right. Ethan Palmer is an anagram for son of Hitler.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. I know. Wow. Yeah, but it's true. It's true.
Blonde hair, blue eyes. He'd be so proud.
Oh man, you are the most Aryan on the podcast.
What? I resent that. Come on.
I would say so. Yeah.
Pete's practically Italian. He's basically like a Mussolini bootleg. Come on. Cut me some slack. Greece is just little Italy. What if Italy was an island? That's Greece, basically. So.
It's an archipelago. True. Or just like New Jersey. It's just not an island. So I like the new ones a lot. Like even post Doom Eternal, which I know we talked about on the bonus audio, like Ethan's not a big fan of, like, I love it. And like replaying New Colossus now, where you can just dual wield every single fucking gun in the game and even like alternate them. You just like charge down a hallway filled with bad guys and just absolutely shred them to fucking pieces. It's awesome.
It's very
and
yeah, that's,
like, yeah.
I haven't played like, I'm not a big first person shooter guy at all. Yeah. Like I was when I was younger, and I've tried to get back into them a few times. So like, I can't do it. But like, that was my real problem. Like I was just like in that opening level where you're on this beach, it's basically like a D-Day parallel again.
Yeah.
As we're going to learn, it's an alt history. And that's like the extent of what I know is that. And then also what we've talked about on the Doom episodes, because like Doom Guy is somehow related to Blazkowicz somehow.
And Commander Keen.
Exactly.
Yeah, so like all the id guy lineage, basically. Yeah.
Exactly. That's like the extent of my knowledge of the game. But I remember just being on that beach level and just being like poking my head out of cover and taking like two shots. And then just like, you know, like the screen's just like flashing red because I'm getting shot from three. And then just like going back into cover and just waiting for my health to regen and then poking out and just being like, wow, I don't like this. Like, this is way too slow. The reason why I like Doom 2016 over Doom Eternal was because Doom 2016, you literally never had to stop sprinting. You never had to hide behind, like, if you're good enough, you never had to get behind cover.
Yeah.
Which maybe is the same is true for Eternal 2, but the skill cap is just higher. And I'm like a boomer and was like, oh, I'm not getting that much better at the game. When I almost 100%ed the last game, like, the only thing I didn't beat it on was the Iron Man hardest difficulty, Ultra Nightmare.
Yeah, fuck that.
Iron Man or whatever. So I did everything else. I beat it on the hardest difficulty, just not the Iron Man mode. So
right.
I think
Wolfenstein's more runny and gunny, but I haven't played it in a while. But
it's not. It is slower paced because you don't regen health by like breaking people's necks.
Oh, I think I tuned it all the way down to the lowest setting so I could actually.
Maybe that's what I should have done. Honestly, yeah. maybe that's what I should do. But
in your health only in Wolfenstein, your health only regenerates to the nearest 10. So if you go down from 100 HP to 39, it only goes to 40.
Right.
Okay. From there. Yeah, which is cool. But regardless, the story in the New Colossus I found like a little bit insane. We'll get into it. Where like, it's a little too out there and the tone can shift kind of wildly. Like, the game rules and I'm absolutely going to finish it again. What, tonight? Fuck. But there's a few plot points that are a little too out there that I want to get into.
Yeah, there's a couple of absolutely fucking crazy things.
There's some wild. Yeah. So like, in the previous game, in New Order, you go to the moon where there's a military base, and that's like, that's great. It's a great use of the cliche of like moon Nazis, and like there's a lot of like fast and loose with like some classic conspiracies as well.
I mean, like Moonraker's like one of my favorite Bond films, like just because like I love the over the top, you know, Bond and things like that, right? Just like, oh yeah, they got a fucking base of the moon now, and sure, let's go.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And it's like really, really good. But like in New Colossus, you go to a space station orbiting Venus, where a old paranoid 72-year-old Hitler has a movie studio.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, wait, it's because he's faking the moon landings from his movie studio.
From Venus, yeah. And like, the cutscenes are really interestingly shot. It's like very stylized and there's a lot of great cuts, but the cut between like deciding to go to Venus and arriving at Venus makes it seem like the trip took like 45 minutes. It's it's very weird, and also it just seems like they kind of wrote themselves into a corner. Just like, I mean, they could have gone to the bottom of the ocean. That would still be cool, right?
I honestly
but
didn't
it,
even
like space station on Venus. I'm like,
I didn't even remember what? They went to space. I, for some reason, I thought the whole game was on Earth, but it's been a while since I've played.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, and then the main plot point that bugs me as well, and this is a big spoiler, but well, you beat it, you're probably not going to play it. Just skip a minute ahead, I guess, if you don't want this game from 2015 to be spoiled for you. The main character, BJ Blazkowicz, is captured and killed by the Nazis in the new Colossus, but then the game is just like, oh yeah, we found a genetically modified super soldier body, and just like, don't worry about it. They just attach his head to it.
Yeah, they publicly behead him, and then his head falls, and then like it cuts to black, and you're like, fuck, I guess I'm dead. But then you find out later in another cutscene that like some drone went and picked up your head.
They do a switcheroo with the mannequin head.
Yeah, switcheroo with the mannequin heads, quickly got you to the space station, and your doctor managed to put your head onto a super soldier's body. Yeah.
Nothing says getting to a space station like quickly, right? Like, it's easy. They're easy to access for sure.
The thing that I don't understand is like I'm fairly certain they just wrote themselves into a corner because like a grenade goes off in your face at the end of New Order and it like wounds BJ really badly, like it cripples him basically, and then the first half of New Colossus you're held up entirely by power armor, right?
Okay,
right. Don't you have a wheelchair at one point too?
The opening level you're in a wheelchair like killing Nazis from a wheelchair, which is fucking awesome. But like then they give you power armor, which is the only thing that helps you stand, and then they were just like, man, we crippled our main guy and he still needs to like save the world from Nazis. What do we do? It's just like, okay, we're gonna chop his head off and put it on a better body. Because he's like literally has like a catheter inside the power armor. He's so fucked up. He has like a piss bag. Yeah.
But that's like, you say wrote themselves into a corner. The power armor wrote them out of that corner. You know what I mean?
But then they cut
like,
his
he's
head
got
off
a catheter, but I don't care as a gamer. As a gamer, it's like, oh, he's got a catheter. Finally, an in-canon explanation for why I don't got to stop the piss every 15 minutes, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And Hitler, it's obvious why you hate him. But the dad, I don't know if we're going to talk a lot about his dad, but...
it's a lot of good stuff. It's a very good scene in the game.
Yeah.
His dad, very abusive, like an old Southern racist. But
you can't hang out with the black children.
The black girl. Yeah.
And also, we need to toughen you up, so you got to shoot the family dog. And you have to choose to either shoot or not shoot the family dog in the game. Which, of course, I played, I think, that part twice. And I'll never shoot the family dog. Yeah, I'll make him do it, yeah.
Yeah. They don't do it on screen, because, like, if you aim away, the shotgun just knocks you over. Because he, like, straps you to, like, a carpentry horse.
Yeah.
Like, you belt your hands to it. And then when you pull the trigger, it just knocks you over so you don't have to see it.
Jeez.
But it is weird. They do humanize the dad a bit in one of the cutscenes where he, like, gives BJ a BB gun so that they can go hunt the monsters in the basement. I'm just like, oh yeah, I mean, he's evil, but he's still human. Yeah. He's just a shitty dad, I guess.
And he's like, he acquired the wife's dad's business. Like, he married into the business, but is like running the business into the ground.
Yeah.
And now he's a Nazi sympathizer and everybody hates him. And
Yeah, he's like super successful now that the Nazis have won the war, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, criticism aside of the new Colossus specifically, I love the New Order. I don't have anything bad to say about it. They're great, and they're on Game Pass. So if you have Game Pass, I suggest booting them up if you haven't before.
They're fun, and those crazy cutscenes we talked about, even though it's like outlandish and wild, like it still gets a swell out of you whenever they save the head, like somehow.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And the new body is cool, and like the change in his character is cool because he is
got
like
a bigger dick.
Yeah, hope so. Because like obviously like it's BJ Blazkowicz, Nazi killing machine. Like he is the alpha Giga Chad.
Yeah.
And like the first half of the game, he's like sad about not being Chad enough anymore, like having to rely on the suit. And, like, his personality changes to be very cool and fun, where he's just like, fuck yeah, I can, like, break a guy's neck with my bare hands again.
I'm here to
break
throw...
it. Not a guy's neck, a Nazi's neck.
Yeah. I'm here to throw dick and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
So I knew and then forgot, and I reread about this while writing this episode. The first Wolfenstein game was actually Castle Wolfenstein, and was a top-down stealth game released in 1981.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's old.
40 years ago.
Wow. Top down?
Yeah, top down. Very, very basic, like, very basic graphics. You're an unnamed Allied spy who's been kidnapped by the Nazis and put in the dungeon of Castle Wolfenstein. It's a procedurally generated maze game, so kind of a roguelike. Except when you get killed and reload, you don't actually lose your progress. It's just every time you fresh boot the game, there's a different layout of the castle.
It's basically like Chip's Challenge graphics, for those who remember what Chip's Challenge is. But
I mean, yeah, it's a little rougher than Chip's Challenge, I think, which was like in 93, so like 12 years later.
Yeah.
It's just so funny because I was just talking about Chip's Challenge on Tuesday because I was playing D&D and some friend of mine that I was playing with was like, hey, what's like the most obscure thing that you like loved from your childhood that you don't know? You could say it in a room of people and be fairly confident that nobody would know what it was. And mine was Chip's Challenge, which nobody there knew. Obviously Jamie knows it, but
yeah.
So I looked it up on Steam. Chip's Challenge 1 is free. Chip's Challenge 2 is like $4 or something.
Well, I want to play. I used to play it on my mom's like Windows 3.4 or whatever computer. And you know what I also found she had on there? Me and my brother. I was talking to my brother this week. Apparently we've both
Yeah.
She had a strip poker game. And you could see naked pixelated boobs, but neither of us knew how to play poker. So we're brute forcing this poker game, trying to see pixelated boobs in like 1996 or whatever it was, or 97.
It'll do it, man.
Oh, damn. The 90s, huh? Yeah. Before internet porn. What a time.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's very much like that. Like, it's retro. It's like very, it's 10 years older than I am, so it's old as fuck. Yeah, so you're captured by the SS, who were the major paramilitary organization in Hitler's army that were actually formed in 1925, which seems really early. Like, I always forget how long the Nazi Party was just like a political party that existed casually prior to like actually starting a war.
Yeah, the National Socialist Party was a thing in the 20s. They came to power in the early 30s.
Yeah, he was like chancellor for a decade before starting a war.
Yeah, some close to, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I also looked it up. I had no idea what it stood for. SS stands for Saul Schutz, which in English translates to hall security. I didn't know. So like in the early days, the SS were a volunteer security for like party meetups. And so like the like dripped out lightning bolts on the Hugo Boss outfit is just German for like hall monitor. And they just kept the name for the entire time.
Wow.
Like big yellow sash. They were just like the nerds of the party that were just like, don't worry, we'll keep you safe.
So creative, yeah.
And they just kept it going forever.
I mean, explains a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just... the second game was from 1984 and was beyond Castle Wolfenstein. And it's actually kind of loosely based around the 20 July plot, where a spy has to break into Hitler's Berlin bunker, steal a bomb, plant it, and escape before it detonates. We would obviously know this better as Operation Valkyrie. Which is where Klaus von Schaffenberg and other conspirators attempted to assassinate Hitler with a bomb in a suitcase. At some point, the briefcase was moved next to a table leg so that when it detonated, it actually protected Hitler and just merely blew off his pants. If you want to look at the first spoiler image I posted, it is Hitler's shredded pants being held up by a Hitler Youth guy.
Right. Okay, I have heard that story before. I didn't recognize the Valkyrie thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that there's like a 12-year-old holding up his pants, and they're not that much. They look like they'd almost fit this 12-year-old. You know,
I love how they are like shredded like a cartoon cigar that like a stick of dynamite went off in front of. They're just like completely peeled open.
They really are. It looks like they cut it so they could like hang it behind a vehicle and go real fast and flutter in the wind or something. It was like it looks purposefully done.
Local rapscallion steal Hitler's pants and like bike around town like waving around like a flag. So it's obviously sucks that like assassination attempt failed, but like the results are pretty fucking funny if you think about it. It's just like the failed assassination attempt. It's like, yep, you killed a stenographer and just blew off his goddamn pants, dude.
Blew off his pants.
Yeah.
And he didn't die of embarrassment. So.
Exactly. Yeah. They tried pantsing him in public multiple times. Yeah. Every one of those plots failed.
Yeah. In Operation Valkyrie, a little known fact about it is they were actually administering a math test at the same time. And he was there with all the kids that he went to school with. when they blow off his pants, but it didn't end up killing him. So
we talked about dreams
underwear.
We talked about dreams in the bonus too. That's
yeah.
You know when your pants get blown off?
Yeah.
So now we come to the distant future of 1992 and we get Wolfenstein 3D. This is like the first thing that should pop into most people's heads when you think Wolfenstein. It's the FPS, basically.
Yeah.
This is the one. It's free on iOS, or at least was a couple years ago. I don't know if that's still true, but it's worth playing. Like, it's fun. There's a bunch of, like, in both Wolfenstein New Colossus and in New Order, there are Easter eggs, obviously, where you can find a way to play through Wolfenstein 1 with, like, the modern guns, but you're still killing, like, pixelated German shepherds and pixelated Nazi soldiers, which is pretty funny. But yeah, it's the classic. I didn't play it till I was an adult, obviously, but it's worth it.
I was saying earlier that I'm not a fan of first person shooters, but I do like the boomer shooters to some extent, for sure. Like, I beat Doom 1 and Doom 2. I want to say 6 years ago now, but
we might have covered all the major boomer shooters now. Like, I can't think of one that we missed.
We still need to do Quake, which is on the list. Don't worry.
Quake, yeah. Right. Yeah. I thought we did.
We just got more requests for Wolf, so I had to put it up. It's democracy, baby.
Yep. Fair enough. Once we do all the boomer shooters, what happens though? Does like some boomer rise from the ground and congratulate us or something?
John Carmack is going to show up at my house and shake my hand.
Great. I'm excited.
He's going to hand you a floppy disk with Doom on it.
Yeah. He gives me his shareware treasure. The Wolfenstein 3D is actually the first time where we get the name of the protagonist, the American jawline enthusiast, BJ Blazkowicz.
Oh, yeah.
In the OGs, in the top-down stealth games. You can also steal their outfits, so it's kind of also proto-Hitman, where you can, like, kill a Nazi and take his uniform as, like, a stealth thing, which is pretty cool for a 45-year or 40-year-old game, rather.
40 years? What?
41.
We're 30 years old, my guy.
And Castle Wolfenstein, I said, came out in 1981.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying in Wolfenstein 3D you could do
that. No. I'm talking like the OG. OG. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be 41 years, where you could steal their outfits. BJ cannot steal, cannot disguise himself as an SS officer.
I was surprised 3D. When you said it. I was like, oh, okay, that seems like a weird addition to a boomer shooter. And I'm like, maybe I wouldn't like this boomer shooter.
Yeah.
That would be like a tight fit for him. He's got a big frame, I feel like, bigger than a lot of these hall monitors. So
it's not even the frame. It's just
the
getting
sash it, so tight.
It's getting the neck hole over his jaw is impossible. He always rips it whenever trying to get it over his jawline. So.
he just draws a little smile underneath his nose and then
like, just the collar.
On the shirt. Yeah.
Speaking of rips, so BJ's dad. So William Joseph Blazkowicz's father, in canon name, is Rip Blazkowicz.
Rip? Like Rip Torn?
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't like him.
No, he is one of the antagonists in New Colossus.
Yeah. And you have this whole scene where he overpowers you too, and it's like you're a little boy and like you can't fight back against your dad and then eventually you just learn to be able to fight back against literally anything. Like you can find robots with your bare hands at a certain point.
Yeah, there's like mechanical Nazi soldiers in New Colossus where like, cause you have a tomahawk or like a fire hatchet basically. And when you stealth kill them, you like jam it in the gears in the back and just like fucking pop their heads off. He's like strong enough to decapitate a machine with his bare hands.
I will say Rip, according to a quick Google, the source here is nameberry.com. Does seem to be Dutch origin, and it means strength, like Rip Van Winkle.
Oh, and Winkle means penis.
Yeah, so it's strong of penis was Rip Van Winkle.
Wow.
Strong of Polish Jew is Rip Blazkowicz, I guess.
Yeah, he is a European immigrant in Canada as well. Also, he's like built like a brick shit house, so that's how BJ is so huge. Is his dad is also just like a gigantic man, which is so funny. Also, I looked at the cast. The voice of young BJ Blazkowicz in the game in the flashbacks, like a lot of young boys in media, is voiced by an older woman. It's voiced by Debbie Derryberry, who, if you listen for it now, is just doing Jimmy Neutron with a southern accent when she's doing Young BJ.
That's awesome.
Well, I guess they could handle characters. The Neutron style.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's the same actress, and it's just like, I can't unhear it now. So I like did the cutscenes where there's like flashbacks where he has like a secret black friend when he's like 10 years old in the South or whatever. And it's just like, oh no, man, this is just the Neutron style. God damn it. But with like a Texas accent. So the final boss of the original game was Mecha Hitler. It was the Führer himself in a gigantic, heavily armed exosuit. And you do kill him. In Wolfen, I mean, you should, at least. That's like the point of the game. If you don't kill him, you don't beat the game.
If you see Mecha Hitler, you should kill him. Exactly. That's a lore boy's tip for you.
Yeah, that's like one of those signs if you're on like a wild, like a wilderness hike. It's just like, do not feed Mecha Hitler.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Do not feed the bears. Please kill Mecha Hitler.
Please kill Mecha Hitler. So for the timeline that we're going into now, these older games aren't really canon anymore because obviously Hitler is in the new Colossus, so he cannot have been killed by BJ in the 40s. So going forward, we'll be focusing on some of the newer lore added into the latest series. The timeline, for whatever reason, actually just like starts with the first appearance of the swastika. Probably more as like trivia than anything, but I figured I'd toss it in. The wiki states that the first one was found in Iran and is about 7,000 years old. However, whoever wrote that didn't know, or the discovery hadn't come yet, where they actually found a 12,000-year-old swastika in Eastern Europe that was carved into mammoth ivory. So it's a very old, like, Paleolithic symbol. It was carved into the sculpture on a bird. So the sculpture was a bird and had swastikas, like, carved into it as well. Some people speculate that it was, like, a stylized silhouette of a bird in the same way that, like, a curvy letter M is, like, a seagull on the horizon. Basically,
I can like kind of see it given like the styles of the time of, you know, the 12th millennium BC.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like you can kind of see it. Like even when they paint just like a straight up cow, it's still kind of abstract and poorly done. So like a distant crane just being like whatever, like four right angles is like, yeah, I can kind of see that.
Sure, sure.
Why not?
More swastika lore. Did you guys know that there's a swastika, Ontario?
Wow, that sucks.
Apparently there is. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, there's a place I know.
I cannot believe they haven't changed the name yet.
There's a place I know in Ontario where Hitler youth are and the neo-Nazis go.
I mean, it'd be easy to like track them down if they all just like went to the most obvious place on the planet.
It's like there's more Phils in Philadelphia. There's probably more neo-Nazis in Swastika, Ontario. It's The mere
God willing, effect. It's completely uninhabited.
Exposure effect. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Prior to its appropriation by the Nazi Party, it represented a ton of things. Cranes, I guess, like birds, but also luck and fertility. Like, it's a very common symbol. It's been carved into a million different things over the past.
I mean, yeah, it's like, it's a very basic symbol too, right? Like, it's how you would do kind of like a spiraling effect, like water draining.
Or like a, it's also been referred to as like a wheel in certain cultures as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like if your methods for drawing something or carving something, probably more accurately, are like so limited, like it is a pretty like intuitive design, I would say.
You don't even need a curved chisel. You can just use a straight chisel for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So after the Stone Age, at an unknown time comes the formation of Dat Yichud, which is a secret society of scientific geniuses who believe that science and technology would bring them closer to God. The name translates to knowledge of the unification, roughly, from Hebrew. They're basically like the Knights Templar or the Illuminati by another name. They are the ancient super advanced society that has been around since antiquity, basically.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
They're the stonemasons.
Exactly. Any secret society you want to think of that has, you know, like, they have the cool technology. These are they, basically.
Speaking of like super intelligent people, have you guys ever watched like a documentary on what's his name, Ramanujan, the Indian mathematician?
No,
he like independently in a small town in India, like had some basis of knowledge for math and independently discovered like hundreds of theorems, and then also made his own conjectures, and then someone in England came and took him up and brought him and started teaching him math, And it was amazing what he knew. Like, he wouldn't know what, like, a basic thing in math theory is, but he would just know internally how to make all these crazy conjectures that turned out to be true.
And holy shit. Speaking of mathematical geniuses.
he died at 30. Because there wasn't enough food to go around in, I think it was the Second World War, maybe it was the First World War. But I watched a documentary on him last night. I'm like, this guy could have changed the fucking world if he just had, like, a better spawn point. Or maybe his spawn point had to do with it. Or, like, if he had enough food, if World War One or Two didn't happen. And, like,
I mean, yeah, that's exactly the idea behind, like, globalist socialism, right? This is just, yeah. Like, yeah, you know, like, you're wasting, you know, we're wasting opportunities for all of us to live better lives. By being like, hey, you know, we deserve more than you guys.
Yeah. And he was like, he still like has theories that are just keep being confirmed to be true, that he knew were true. And mathematicians only now, like 100 years later, are figuring out are true. It's pretty crazy.
Euler, who like, he like wrote something down in the margins of his book, which is just like, oh, here's like a problem.
Oh,
and then
Fermat.
Like in the Fermat's
last
theorem.
A cubed plus B cubed does not equal C cubed. And I watched a movie. I got into a bunch of math stuff. I was up really late last night.
Clearly.
And only so, now are they starting to figure that to be true.
But yeah, he just wrote it in the margin of his notebook somewhere. He's like, yeah, I solved it. Don't worry about it. Then died.
Yeah.
And so, like, for like 300 years, people have been like, did he though? Is that real?
Like, what, Ramanujan?
He's like gaslighting the world. Just like, yeah. I'll explain it tomorrow and then dies in his
exactly.
sleep.
The guy who like, figured out Fermat's last theorem used some of Ramanujan's work to actually figure it out. It's all connected, dude.
The subject of mathematicians that I want to plug, a very, very good one. Hollywood actor Terrence Howard from Iron Man 1 has made up Teriology, which is his own mathematical system.
What is that?
Very stupid. I'm kidding. He's not a mathematician whatsoever.
Okay. I was ready to believe it.
Yeah, no, he's not going to be. Nobody's going to be trying to solve teriology after Terrence Howard dies. just for the record. So .Yehud seems to have been established in parallel with the Sumerians, since the Nazis in game used Sumerian tablets to decipher Yehud blueprints and shit like that. The Sumerians are frequently, like, in the real world, associated with a bunch of, like, crackpot bullshit, like, a lot of ancient alien stuff, a lot of, like, oh, they must have had super advanced technology to build all these megaliths and all these buildings, because you need anti-gravity, because otherwise it would be fucking impossible, or someone in Europe would have done it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, the Sumerians are, like, they have a lot of the like carvings from ancient Sumer, which of course doesn't exist anymore too. So it's like even more mysterious. It's like pre Persia, pre all that shit. They have a lot of the ones of like the big round headed guys pointing at the stars. Like if you listen to our Alien episode from like 5.5 years ago now, a big plot point in like Alien Covenant or whatever is that they have like Sumerian tablets where there's just like a guy pointing at the stars, and then they go to those stars and discover the aliens.
Yeah.
it's all that shit. But like, .Yehud is in canon. It's just science, and it's all from Earth. It's just a bunch of like scientific geniuses and scholars formed this secret society for the betterment of mankind. And sadly, the Nazis discovered some of their technology vaults, which is how they managed to take over the world.
A bunch of Ramanujans.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which honestly, I can't read Hebrew or like say Yiddish or anything like that. But so .Yehud is hard enough. I'm not even gonna try that guy's name.
It's not so hard. Ramanujan. I might be saying it wrong, but yeah.
It's not Yiddish. First of all, it's Indian. But
yeah,
no, I mean, .Yehud is Hebrew or Yiddish.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So .Yehud is strictly scientific. They're like the literal interpretation of the saying, which I'll paraphrase with like sufficiently advanced technology can be interpreted as magic, whatever that saying is.
Yep.
Basically.
I like the slip of the tongue there, power phrase instead of paraphrase.
Power phrase.
Like, I'm just going to power through this and not let you guys disagree with me. Let me just power phrase this.
I think Blazkowicz would call it a power phrase too. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Set Roth, who's a member of the society. He is the grumpy old Jewish man who like builds all your technology for you. He refers to magic as supernatural bupkis. He is one of my favorite video game characters on the planet. He is just like the less frequently seen grandfather from the Rugrats, the fat one, who like has like the super super heavy accent, like very thick accent.
He's always annoyed that you've like just shown up and like ruined your power armor or whatever.
And he's very quick. He's very like, he's the other grandfather from Rugrats, basically combined with Woody Allen, like very like neurotic and very fast and like very.
He's very funny.
Yeah.
Very dating 13-year-olds.
Gotcha. Yes. man. And getting away with it.
That's Hollywood, baby.
Yeah, man.
Friends of Roman Polanski, right?
Yeah. So we'll get into more of the crimes of Hollywood after the break, actually.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the ad. So the scholars of Dot Yehud would continue their experiments throughout history, and they'd even travel to the New World and create a vault of technology in 961 AD under what would eventually become Roswell, New Mexico. So the Roswell incident, it was the American government experimenting with like Yehud anti-gravity technology. So again, no aliens. It did happen, but it was the U.S. government.
Classic.
Believable.
Which, frankly, is probably... I'm not an alien guy, sorry to admit. I guarantee that whatever happened there was just the military doing something.
No, you're a Greek guy.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a discount Italian or whatever we say.
budget Italian.
I can't remember if that was in this or the episode that we recorded before, but someone will get that.
I think it was this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think it was this.
Because you guys said I was the most Aryan, so I think it was this. We didn't talk about Wolfenstein much on the bonus. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. And then one of the very good characters in New Colossus is this guy whose nickname is Super Spesh, who is like a hardcore alien conspiracy guy, and the actor is so fucking funny. He is like, all the cutscenes with him are absolute bangers. Even though like some of the cutscenes with him are like over 10 minutes long, they go by like so quick because the guy who plays him is just so fucking good. He's hilarious. Those fucking FBI pigs gotta do fucking cover up with the main king pig president himself. Like, he's just like, he like used to be a civil rights lawyer and now he's like a revolutionary, just calls everybody pigs. It's fucking awesome. So prior to Dot Yehud making the vault of anti-gravity stuff in New Mexico, King Otto the First, who is the real first German emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, built Castle Wolfenstein between the years 946 and 955 AD. I googled it. I tried to find out if Castle Wolfenstein's location is based on like a real castle somewhere. Some of King Otto's actual castles are in canon, like one of them that is used by the main villain in The New Order. But Castle Wolfenstein itself, I could not figure out which castle it was based on, basically.
Probably just not based on a particular one, right?
Yeah, I guess it just isn't at all. There's not everything is a reference, I guess, sadly.
Well, in Castlevania, there actually is that Castlevania castle you can go to and fight a vampire who put your wife in a... In a whip.
And what's really interesting about Castlevania is it's not Castlevania. It's actually Castlevania.
Yeah.
Castlevania is the full name of the castle.
It's
it's not. It wasn't the first one. It's not where we get the word. It's just a weird coincidence, weird translation error. That comes from Romanian. Where castle means bat in Romanian. So there you go.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
And Vania means many. So it's castle many bat or castle bat many.
Lots of bats.
But you said it's castle Vania. So it would be bat many.
No, so the castle is us saying it in English.
Okay.
Yeah, the Romanian word for castle is bat. Okay. So it's bat Castlevania.
Right. Gotcha.
So like I said, King Otto is completely real, like a real historical guy. And in our story, he heads to Istanbul after his wife, Edgith, dies in 19...
Probably was Constantinople.
Oh, that's true. Istanbul was Constantinople.
Yeah. As they say, when did Istanbul become Istanbul? It was after the Second World War, wasn't it?
When did Istanbul... maybe after the first, because I think it wasn't like the last gasp of the Ottomans, World War I?
Yeah, exactly. Officially adopted in 1930. It was after the first World
War. It says alt history. It could be whatever country we want, because the Germans won, and that means the history... everything.
Well, no, because we're leading up to the Nazis. The Nazis aren't a thing yet, right?
No, not yet. It's the 940s.
The past would have had to be different to lead up to a different future, in my opinion. But
yeah, but that could, like, we're not like you're proposing that a the entire nation of Turkey had to have had a different name for its capital city, whereas chaos theory tells us like a butterfly could have fucked a different butterfly in 3 million.
I think they
BC.
Say flaps its wings, but
no, I think that's sure a euphemism.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sex thing for sure.
You saw how horny Ian Malcolm is in the first Jurassic Park. 100%.
I thought you were going to go for Ashton Kutcher in Butterfly Theory.
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
Butterfly Effect.
A Butterfly Effect, yeah.
In the Butterfly Theory.
Even when I saw that movie in theaters, and one scene, it caught fire, like the film, and it just like burned out.
Yeah, the reel broke.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's one of those movies where like, they play with film effects almost, and it's like it shakes when they like the timeline changes or whatever.
Right, yeah.
So we're all sitting there in stunned silence, like, is it over? That was like part of the movie, right?
And he just shows up in the junkyard as a kid in like his flashback or whatever, and then it starts burning. And oh, actually, I really enjoyed that movie as a kid. I thought it was very deep and cool. But
might still be.
I managed to chain together, and I used to steal movies all the time, but I managed to chain together two free movies once. Because when I went to see the first new Star Trek with Chris Pine, there was a fire at the theater, so everybody got evacuated. Not in the theater I was in, just like in the building. So we all got evacuated. They gave us free tickets. Then I used that free ticket to go back. I can't remember what I was seeing, but then the film reel, it didn't burn on screen, but it broke down. So they gave me another free ticket, which I then got to go see a third movie with.
Man, I would have demanded two for that second one, being like, I'm here on a free ticket from the last time. You know how inconvenient it is to have to come to the theater each time? They in their eyes, they see it as cash for them, right? Because they're like, they're not like the ticket sale's already made, so they're like, whatever. And you'll maybe buy popcorn, you'll maybe buy a $9 box of M&Ms or whatever, right? Probably a drink. Yeah.
I haven't gone to the movies in so long. I love movie popcorn. I kind of want to go to the movies just for that. Like, I could just leave with the popcorn. But
we should do the VIP thing, dude. Like, I did it for The Northman, and I want to see the new Top Gun. And I'm not going back to civilian theater, man. Like, you got to do the VIP. It's way better.
I have a gift card.
A heated recliner, my guy.
Oh. I have a gift card to Cineplex, but that sounds way better. So I think I'll just
It is Cineplex. Yeah.
So Cineplex owns the theater at the Pepsi Forum.
I could be a VIP with my gift card. That's perfect.
Yeah, let's go.
All right.
Pete and Jamie go to Skinamax or something.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to go see some softcore porn together with a gift card.
Yeah. On our heated leather recliners.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pee Wee Herman just next to us cranking it.
With his optimal Diablo build.
The word of the day is I'm busting. Your chairs start talking and stuff.
Busting. Jesus Christ. So while busting down to Istanbul, Otto discovered or was given some Dokuhud parchment that had presumably been written by the scholars and stored in one of the vaults that was in Constantinople or Istanbul whenever this occurred. He brought them home to Germany and got to work. He became obsessed with alchemy and began experimenting with raising the dead to bring back his to bring his wife back to life. In 955, Otto used many of the monsters he had created in a war against the Hungarians during the Battle of Lechfeld. This was a real battle that took place over 3 days, where the Germans absolutely kicked the shit out of the Hungarians and put an end to Hungarian raids on German territory for a time. That's both the real battle and the one in this timeline here, where he used monsters that old Hebrew magic brought back to life, basically.
He used German zombies.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not at Nazi zombies yet, but we're getting close.
Yeah. It's a setup, right? Like, I wouldn't believe it if there wasn't an alchemical explanation, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw on the internet this week, someone set their Tesla horn to the sound of a Nazi zombie screaming, and we're just sneaking up behind people. And
The old blood, you do get to fight some Nazi zombies, because it is about going to find, the alchemical weapons that have been hidden under a town called Wolfburg, basically.
Okay.
That's what that entire DLC is about.
Most following of the Wolfburg battle, is under the ground.
Yeah. Sorry?
Most of the Wolfburg is under the ground. You only see the tip.
It's just 10% of it is outside of the ground. Yeah.
So following the Battle of Lechfeld, some of Otto's warriors noticed that the monsters were kind of like rotting and maybe a bit leaky, and also sometimes would like exhale a noxious green gas that just, you know, would poison basically anyone around them, friend or foe. And then sometimes this mist would also like raise the dead, and that was like a big problem. Otto, considering like a lot of our stories about like the hubris of royalty or like whatever, he actually shockingly in this story realizes that this is a bad thing, and he has all of his like zombies destroyed. And the final one, which was the gigantic one, it's the final boss of the old blood, the flesh golem, was locked away in a dungeon below the city of Wolfburg, which he then had destroyed. It was rebuilt kind of centuries later, sadly, which gives us the problem. And eventually the Nazi SS paranormal division awakened the flesh golem, which is again the end of that game.
Cool.
The DLC the old blood is like okay. It's not as good in my opinion as the base game. The first half is great when you're infiltrating the Nazi base. The second half, like in Wolfburg, where you're just shooting zombies, not so great, I guess, because it just very much slows down the game because they don't have guns and they just like shamble at you.
Right.
It's not.
So you just have to pop in heads.
Yeah, exactly. They give you a double-barreled shotgun, and you just go to town on them.
Is the flesh golem fight any good?
It's incredibly hard, and it is just like a giant monster that's like waist deep in a pit because it's chained down. But it's pretty fun. I remember it being hard as fuck.
Because the golem's obviously a real life myth, I guess.
Golems are part of Jewish mythology. Yeah. So the fact that Dot Yehud would have like ingredients for making one totally tracks what with the kind of ancient Jewish.
Please do like lore of Judaism, because every time we talk about it they have cool ass monsters and stuff, and I want to learn more.
I mean, they were the original book, right, of the trifecta of Judaism, Christianity, then Islam, right. They were the original, and then Christianity riffed off them, and then Islam riffed off both of them, right?
Yeah.
Do they have rules in the book, like the golem does 1d6 plus the modifier?
Somebody review the Jewish monster manual.
Aura is actually Romanian for monster manual. I would imagine the flesh golem would be a pretty hard fight, because if you're trying to hide from him in the dark or something, he busts out his fleshlight, then it's like, you're in big trouble. So
yeah. You can spot someone right away with that. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
A gentle slicking in the corner over there.
Oh, God. Get some more ASMR up here, Jamie. BJ infiltrates the dungeon and does destroy the flesh golem, obviously. He smashes up the Nazi paranormal fleshlights.
There you go, bolts.
Yeah. which they tried to do on D-Day. They tried to get Hitler's fleshlights, but they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He'd smuggle them back to Berlin out of France.
The D is for dildo. Yeah. It was dildo day.
Well, they stormed the beach on the day he was cleaning them or something.
They're all turned inside out in the sink instead of where they were.
Yeah, we've only got one shot of this. Hitler's dry, air drying his fleshlights. So.
Jesus. Yeah, someone tried to get him with a bomb, but it just blew his fleshlight inside out like his pants.
Valkyrie was the brand of fleshlight that he used, which is why it's Operation Valkyrie, right?
Gotcha.
Yeah. So after destroying the flesh golem, BJ manages to get out of Wolfburg, and after like stopping the curse of the zombies, and he goes back to Allied forces with the coordinates for Dr. Wilhelm Strauss's castle, basically. Which is where we go to. It's not dildo day in the beginning of the game. It's when it's the beach scene with the castle.
Okay.
Strasse was the man who had been using the Dot Yehud secrets and technology to create the various robots and super soldiers that we fight in game. So the Nazis are, like they often did, stealing from other cultures and appropriating it in this way. And that's how they got the recipes for their super soldiers and all their machines and their lasers and all their energy-based weapons. This technology actually allows the Nazis to win the Second World War.
Just gotta ask, this is kind of ancient robots at this point, right?
You could take a drink, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll take a little sippy.
Cheers.
Because
it's so sunny where you are.
I mean, it's not that sunny. It's just it's hitting me right in the face through a crack in the trees. I'm not in the city, right? So there's not.
Yeah,
I can see the sun kind of hit the horizon if I just step out of the backyard.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Later on, after 1946, the U.S. actually surrenders to the Nazis after they nuke New York City.
The Nazis nuked New York. Good vocal warm-ups. The Nazis nuked New York.
I can't imagine that one would fly. So the first Yehud vault was discovered in Cairo by a woman and eventual Nazi named Helga von Schabs, who is a descendant of King Otto and was obsessed with her bloodline. She's the lady, she's like the main antagonist of Old Blood, and she is killed by the Flesh Golem when she awakens it, because she's just like, oh, I'm your great-great-great-great... I'm your master's great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter or whatever, and just like, you must listen to me, and we'll add you to the Nazi war machine, and obviously this giant blind mummy in a dungeon just fucking kills her.
I'm 164th Cherokee, okay? I understand your plight.
Exactly. Where are we here? Right, so the second vault was discovered in Istanbul, and this is the one that Strasse uses to create the Futuristic War Machine. So now we're linking it all back in. The main woman who discovered this stuff for the Nazi war machine was Helga von Schabs.
Cool.
So everything from the robots, the cyborgs, the lasers, and anti-gravity were all based off blueprints from this Turkish vault. The Nazi party in real life is actually famous for being into paranormal and like kind of sci-fi bullshit. Like, a lot of brutal experiments were done in the camps. For like paranormal and sci-fi reasons, and like a lot of genetic experimentation.
You better hope you're not a twin, because you're going to be picked up from the crowd. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So Hitler's number two, Heinrich Himmler, formed the real paranormal division around 1935. So again, like pre-war. I mean, a lot of early 20th century white people were into mysticism. That's like his interest in the paranormal kind of coincides with like American interest in Ouija boards and voodoo and gypsies and fortune tellers and shit. Like, it was very much the style at the time, sort of
thing. Like, the guy who wrote Sherlock Holmes was also, like, famous for doing that around the turn of the century. And, like, cause everyone just kind of had questions, right? Like, you're at this point in human history that's, like, evolving at a pace never before seen before. Yet there's still just like these big questions that nobody's really answered, right? Probably the same thing with a lot of people, like Reiki healers and crystal healing and like that kind of stuff now, right? Yeah. It's like, it's got to be more.
So reading an article and one of the guys at Google who's responsible for like being
the sentient AI.
Yeah, the AI who's like, he's like, no, this guy, like this AI is starting to become sentient, I believe. But it's so hard because people want to personify everything. So it's hard to say, is it just pulling from the right Reddit thread searches online or is it actually becoming sentient? But it'll be scary when like, that's a threshold that we might cross in our lifetime.
To be fair, I did read the follow-up article, which is Google has sidelined him.
Yeah, I can imagine they would do that. I can't wait for all the in like Terminator where a bunch of like chrome skeletons are just like laying waste to San Francisco and demonetizing YouTube videos for some fucking reason, right? Like that's all their Skynet's gonna fucking do is protect ads.
I didn't see like the actual script, but apparently the robot like had convinced the guy that the third law of Isaac Asimov's like law of robotics shouldn't be true or something. I don't remember which the third one is, but
do you think he got a blowjob from it and then he's just like, guys, it's sentient, and then Google's just like, we're taking you off the PR team, buddy.
Yeah. It's okay, so the three laws from memory are can't harm humans.
Yes.
Must obey humans unless it violates the second law or unless it violates the first law. Right. So you have to obey unless it's going to harm a human.
Yep.
And then must protect yourself unless it violates the first or second law. So if protecting yourself would harm a human, then you have to not protect yourself and you have to try and help that human.
Right.
But you should try and keep yourself alive.
We had an episode a long time ago when I used to write them out that had this. I remember writing it out in my little yellow pad.
I just I like Asimov and everything, but like the guy wrote it around the time that we're talking about right now when, you know, Himmler was creating the paranormal division of the government in Germany.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Exactly.
And like, hey, like that guy was an idiot. Adolf Hitler was clearly a meth addict. Like, no shit, they believed in ghosts and aliens, you know, like they were clearly kind of fucked up. But I think we could use Asimov's, like those laws of robotics are kind of a baseline, right? And it's like and no offense, American listeners, people just being like, yeah, well, this piece of paper that was written 250 years ago should be enshrined in our government of today. It's like, you know, you can use it as a baseline and you could build off of it and accept that we're in a future in a different time now, right?
Thankfully, it doesn't enshrine anything about ghosts at the very least. Speaking of like people at this time in government that were like into spooky bullshit, the guy on our Canadian 50, William Lyon Mackenzie King, I have definitely talked about this before, was like pen pals with Hitler because they were both into spooky shit. Like, he governed Canada based on dreams and like weird shit that his schizophrenic mother would tell him.
You have talked about
Imagine
the William guy Lyon Mackenzie King would write to Hitler. Because at this time, it was just like Mr. Hitler, and it's not like he's got a Twitter account where you can totally tell he's doing fucked up shit. You just read what he's writing to you, and at some point, it was just like, hey, you're not going to invade Poland, right? And he was like, no, and then he like did it. He was like, Mr. Hitler betrayed me. But they were like ghost pen pals, dude. They were like the Midnight Society of like Hitler and the guy on the Canadian 50.
Imagine the guy on our 50 and Hitler just like laying in beds on their stomachs, like twirling their feet in the air, like writing ghost stories to each
other. Yeah, yeah, yeah. the corded phone coil just like playing with it like a long hair piece, just
twirling.
Yeah, someone keeps asking for Canada lore. I think it's Magnus in the Discord. Here you go. Controversial beliefs from the Canadian Encyclopedia on the William Mackenzie King page. Mackenzie King's political achievements have often been overshadowed by the revelation that this apparently proper and colorless man was a spiritualist.
Yeah.
He frequently sought contact with his dead mother and with other deceased relatives and friends. King kept a detailed personal diary for much of his life.
Wow. He was one of our longest prime ministers, right?
I think he's on the 50 because he got us through at least chunk of World War II.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was like one of those guys who had like two or three like goes at it or something, but I can't remember.
I think he was.
Yeah.
We don't have term limits in Canada, Americans. So, you can just be prime minister for a decade if you want. If you're using a Ouija board to talk to your dead mother and you get reelected, dog, you're just the prime minister forever then.
He had three non-consecutive terms, 1921 to 1926, 26 to 1930. So those ones are consecutive, and then 35 to 48.
And under this system, Prime Minister Mackenzie King was Canada's longest serving prime minister.
Also, he had been writing to Hitler and being like, promise me you're not going to do anything crazy over there in Europe. And he was just like, okay. And yeah, then exactly. We went to war when they invaded Poland, obviously.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, we didn't have a choice, obviously. Like,
yeah, I mean, Britain didn't tell us
we were going.
Is it the current queen on our 20?
Yeah.
Okay, so when she dies, do we get like an upgrade or what?
We're going to get Prince Charles. It's going to be awesome. No, we're going to get Prince Charles. We're going to switch the 20s to an old guy. It's going to be great. Yeah, they'll fit in with the rest of the bills, finally.
They're adding. So, like, the bill right now is, like, it's, like, a long rectangle, I guess. And they actually have to add a bit of space. So it's going to kind of look like a cross. And that's for his ears.
Charles's ears.
In the bill.
The more I think about it, like, by the time they go to make new bills, we might be phasing out bills like slowly. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I'm all for not putting. I don't know if the mint. I think they will put Prince Charles on it. I wish they wouldn't in kind of a way, like we're no longer part of the British. You know?
Yeah, like the only thing of note he's ever done is kill his wife. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, why don't we get? Let's get Obama. Let's get Obama on our. 20.
Let's get Obama. Let's. Yeah. I mean, let's. I mean, we recently put Viola Desmond on the five or the 10. Yeah. Which like yeah, let's do more shit like that. Like,
all three lore boys.
Oh yeah,
on the 20.
Oh, dude, I got dibs on the $2 bill. I liked it when we had a loon on the 20. You know? That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
that's all I'm gonna say on the matter.
So moving on. I'm glad that all that stuff was very weird and relevant too, which is good. The paranormal division is just like, yeah, the Canadian government was like way into that shit too at the exact same time. So in Youngblood, which we talked about earlier, that is the most recent New Order series game. It's like I was saying, it's like a less well-received co-op shooter.
Is it the most recent game?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's where you play as BJ's twin daughters.
You added some adjectives there, like the most recent New World series game. And I was like, is it the most recent one? That's what I want.
It is impossible because it's not Wolfenstein and Wolfenstein 2. It's New Order, New Colossus, Old Blood, Young Blood. And it's just like, okay, cool.
You get to play as the two daughters that are in my pregnant stomach while I'm covered in blood shooting Uzis.
Yeah, exactly.
Or ARs
two
or something.
Daughters.
Yeah. It's the diesel punk assault rifle from the game, basically. It's the main assault rifle. You can put a scope on it. It's very good.
Yep.
It shows that it's quite far in the future in comparison. Youngblood takes place in the 80s, and at this point the Nazis have managed to they've been reverse engineering .Yahud technology for a long time, obviously, since the 40s. But now, by the 80s, they've actually managed to reverse engineer the Yehud power suit, which was first built in the 1700s, which is the second spoiler image I have for you guys.
Cool.
If you could describe the pretty cool, kind of goofy-looking power armor.
Point of order. I'm going to say just goofy, not cool.
I think it's kind of cool. I like the honeycomb gloves, personally.
But, I think it's cool, except for the helmet. But
yeah, I mean, the helmet definitely ruins it. I'm not crazy about so it's plate like chainmail, I guess, but like varying tiles? Sizes of honeycomb. Yeah, it's like it's tiles. Like he got a good grout guy to come in. And it looks like a shower from the mid 2010s. You know,
not too tight around the groin, please. Yeah,
yeah exactly. Yeah,
need to be able to move.
It's gold and silver. It's very like Crysis, almost like a Crysis suit from the Crysis series of games.
It's funny, I was thinking about Crysis 2 when I was writing this, because the power suit in New Colossus, because obviously BJ's crippled, holds him up. And like the major plot point of Crysis 2 is that Alcatraz's body is just like, every time you regenerate health, the suit is like plugging your holes with nanomachines, and you're basically fused to the suit at this point.
Yeah.
That's what that game is about, is like becoming one with the nanotech.
What a crisis.
Crisis lore when? And then his helmet, it's like a man,
pyramid
it's like
head.
It's like a triangular box. Yeah.
It's a prison designed in the 1980s, basically. Like, it's a white collar prison built in the 1980s for a helmet, basically.
It's like the brutalist pillar.
Exactly. It's like it's a five sided pillar with like a very narrow face that looks nothing like a comfortable or practical helmet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's mostly bulletproof.
Mostly.
It's just like the reason they make them round is because like it deflects bullets better, and they've just very deliberately made this one very straight edge, you know?
It glances off because you're always facing your enemy because you're brave.
You so, could deflect off
unless,
the side.
Unless it's the front of your face because there is a flat piece at the front.
There's little tiny airbags in there.
Oh, okay.
Hit you right in the forehead.
So here's some real world lore for you guys. Did you know that in the military today, they strap explosives to the side of tanks because it will like interrupt like shells when they hit, like other tank shells when they hit.
Whoa.
The explosives will detonate and it'll basically like disrupt the inertia of the shell.
It shoots like outwards, not backwards kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like there's all this force coming at your tank
and it's
just like this new explosion that creates a negative force basically and like blasts outward.
Very cool.
So tanks are usually lined with like explosives on the sides.
It's great. It's great until you've played bumper cars with the boys then.
Yeah.
Kaboom. Kaboom.
Yeah. We've been getting a lot of information from War Thunder because like whatever the Pentagon keeps leaking blueprints through like a free-to-play tank game.
Right. And then someone figured that out that the gun should rotate 20%. It's like this is too OP, so they somehow hacked the government to figure out.
Yeah, exactly. They're looking classified documents to like make their shooty game more realistic. Like,
yeah.
Very cool.
So the Yehud power suit is again like a lot of ancient alien stuff. Very ancient astronaut-y, very goofy looking. It like the tiles. I know, like it could be. It's very kind of like old sci-fi styled thing where it's like, yeah, like if you were a guy in Mesopotamia or something, you'd build like a tiled suit of like interlocking plates or something, right?
Yeah, sure. They're big on mosaics.
Yeah, there you go. Right, it's very mosaic-y armor. Mm-hmm. And also, like the laser was apparently invented in 964 by like scholars working for King Otto. It was called the radiation gun.
Cool.
Okay. When you say the laser was apparently invented, you mean in Wolfenstein?
Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
I was about to fight you on this one.
I was gonna, but
I bet you it wasn't.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna say some idiot out there believes that. But for our purposes, Justin Bimio Bame.
Like, yeah. Well, they use the sun, a series of mirrors in a box, and at the end, it just comes out like a really pointed beam. But,
exactly.
Yeah, we've all
played that Resident Evil puzzle or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to realign the mirrors to burn a hole in the wall.
Yep.
The ingredients for something called Uber Concrete was also from Yehud documents. This is the main construction materials that the Nazis now use in the 60s.
And that's why they invented it, is because like if you need concrete and you're like at the bar or whatever, you just like pull out your phone, like pull up the app, they'll deliver Uber Concrete app, and they'll deliver some concrete.
And they'll deliver some bags of cement outside. It's like, it takes like 6 minutes, but you know, when it's a really busy night, you know, after a sports game, there's an extra charge for getting your concrete delivered.
Outside with a red wheelbarrow waiting for you.
Yeah. I was picturing you should tip more because it's raining and he's like carrying two like bags of concrete on his shoulders.
Just cement.
It's one of those bike Uber guys too. It's like bent the spokes. He's just like, thanks for the tip, man. It's like, yes, like to 8% because it took too long.
Yeah.
they're using prison camp labor to create Uber Concrete for all their construction in the 60s. However, there's like a just well-known prisoner conspiracy where they're doing it wrong, but the Nazis aren't checking. So it turns out a lot of the Nazi construction in the New Order in that game is much more brittle than expected, because the people in the labor camps are just like, fuck these guys. And they're just like, they're just mixing it wrong.
Yeah. You want me to do what? Mix this cement? Yeah. Okay. I'll mix this fucking cement for you.
They don't have the guy at the end of the conveyor belt like doing rubbing it on his gums to make sure it's pure Uber Concrete. they fired that guy.
Well, he did it. He did it for a time, but then he couldn't open his mouth after a certain point.
Of course, yes.
He didn't want to/couldn't speak up. So he didn't want to lose his job. So
That's where to avoid embarrassment,
the party simply eliminated the role entirely. Yeah.
That's where the saying stiff upper lip actually comes from.
It's from Wolfenstein. So much of history proceeds normally from here, with Dot Yehud kind of working in the background and all the political stuff occurs the same in our timeline. There wasn't even a point in the timeline where anything in World War One happened differently at all.
The butterflies are done fucking at this point.
Sorry?
The butterflies are done fucking at this point.
Oh yeah, yeah. Smoke break now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. It's just butterfly pillow talk at this point. Hitler is still elected and named Chancellor in the 30s. Germany invades Poland, much to the disappointment of William Lyon Mackenzie King. And then the
ghosts are going to be so mad at you.
You told me you weren't going to do it. You lied to me, Hitler. How dare you? The seeming first appearance of the high-tech Nazi war machines was actually on D-Day. So D-Day is different. So opposed to the Allied forces managing to get onto the French beach and steal Hitler's dildos, on June 6, 1944, in this timeline, 156,000 Allied troops are killed, and they managed to kill less than 100 Nazis. I think it's something like 86 were killed on new D-Day because they were backed up by things like, it's called a Panzerhound, which is like a giant mechanical lion, which you definitely fought on the beach at the beginning of that game,
It's like flying at you in like a shipwreck. It's like healing back the steel plates on the side of the ship to try and get to you, basically.
Yeah. So the failure of D-Day allows the war to drag on to 1946, which is where the old blood and the new order take place and start. BJ steals the plans for Strass's compound, like I said. Originally, Strass's compound is a real place. It was originally built in the 1400s by King Otto. And the Allies attack it directly, so it's like D-Day 2. This doesn't go as planned. Many of BJ's colleagues are killed, and he's actually put in a coma and presumed dead for 14 years until awakening in 1960, kicking off the new order. Cool. So everything else takes place within the games, which you should play. And that's New Wolfenstein, baby.
If only Hitler's dildos weren't ready for us. No. things could have been so different.
Yeah, very fun games though. I think like even though they're a little goofy at time, like the cutscenes still hit well. Like the story feels fun, the combat's fun, and like if you're like me and you don't want to sneak too much, just turn that difficulty down. Get through the game. It's fun.
Dual wield shotguns and put it on easy, baby. It's
hell yeah.
It like I'm playing on the second highest difficulty below the hardcore deletes your save when you die mode. Oof. And twin triple barrel rotating shotguns is still vastly too strong for even like the high difficulty. You're just melting guys at this point.
Very cool.
Yeah. I've been your host, Peter O'Donohue. You can find me at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. You can see me in person July 9th, 2022 at Montreal Comic Con if you
three and a half weeks away, folks.
Maybe, yeah.
Haven't made plans yet. Now's the time.
Yep, exactly. Make sure the tickets aren't sold out. I don't know how big it's going to be, but we'll be there. And the guys I work with at the publisher have a panel going on as well about horror and comics, if you want to check that out. If you don't, it's going to be Loreboys Central at the table, because we're going to be holding down the fort while they're gone for an hour or two.
And if you can't get in, I think we're going to go to a bar afterwards. So if you just want to grab a friend and come to Montreal and meet us, like...
Mini Boys Con afterwards.
I think Sketchy said that they're coming to... They're going to Sunday, not the day that we're going. So we're just meeting up with Sketchy like after the show, and we're going to do a mini boys con, like Peter says.
Yeah.
Yep.
Boy con. Anything else cool happening, Peter, on Instagram or With Squared Idea?
Yeah. Well, I mean, With Squared, of course, my comic is coming along nicely. I'm going to get some time off after the movie I'm working on wraps, which is great. I expect to make a bunch of progress because I make a decent amount just on regular fucking weekends. When I'm not hungover as shit, of course. And also, if you like any of the artwork that we do, and maybe you want to put it up or put it on your chest or even on your butt cheeks, we do have merch available on spring.com, which is linked below. So,
Check out the links to our store description. Jamie, how about you, buddy?
You can find me in the Discord. I'm not always here, but I'm often here. Sometimes I play games with folks. I often chat with folks. And I want to play Chrono Trigger. And that feels like a game I might actually be able to stream, too. So if you aren't following Twitch.tv/TheLoreBoys, I think I might throw the stream on because I think my computer can handle a 1980 game and streaming. So
it's seen that or Chips Challenge. That's what we're saying. It's either going to be Chrono Trigger or it's going to be Chips Challenge. Either way, it's going to be a good time.
Something from the 90s won't make his GPU too hot.
Exactly. That's it.
So like they say, head on, check out the links in the description of this episode. There's a ton of places you guys can get a hold of us. We are planning on doing a group stream / live show soon. TM. Leading
before
up to
Comic-Con is the goal, basically.
We're leading up to Comic-Con. We're gonna take a day. So now's your call to action to get your emails to us, contact@loreboys.com. Send them to us and we'll make sure to read them on air. If there's anything that you guys want omitted, then feel free to say so. If you want to just tell us your secret crushes and not have us read it out on air, the fact that you're in love with Tony Pescatelli, you know, we don't have to say it on air if you don't want us to, but you know, because you didn't say it, I'm gonna say it now.
You just you're outed with Saucy.
You're in love with Saucy's in love with Tony Pescatelli. What can I say? Just fair. I mean, have you seen his bone structure? Thanks for listening to the show. If you like it, consider leaving us a 5-star review or a 2-thumb-up review or whatever your review system takes.
The algorithm is basically, yeah.
Yeah, a yes review, if you will. It really, really, really helps the show a lot, as well as you guys just doing what you have been doing for years now, which is telling your friends about us and helping us to find new listeners. It's been great, so thanks a bajillion. If you guys want to support the show financially, we do have a Patreon where you can hear bonus content once a week. We did about 30 minutes of bonus content this week where we talked about Summer Games Fest and a couple other things on
and
there.
Dreams we had.
And
dreams
we
talked about my dad and brother of it.
To hear about this week's dreams and Jamie's family, make sure to check out patreon.com/theloreboys. We also do the loser titles, as we call it, which is all the titles that didn't quite make it to this week's episode title, which we'll read out, or we submit, and everyone plays a fun little guessing game. You guys can get the scripts with all the media attachments that we include in them. Of course, don't own the copyright on any of those images, but we do our best to source them.
Picture of Hitler's pants, whatever. What's he gonna do? Sue me?
Yeah. Come at me, Hitler. Crunch at us, Hitler. And of course, if none of that sounds interesting to you guys, you just want to support us the good old fashioned way. Pete's kind of giving you a little preview here. We are developing some pants blowing off technology. Just in case Hitler comes back, we need your guys' help. The Lore Boys are going to be on the front line stopping Mecha Hitler when he shows up. And we need technology to explode pants off of people, basically. So I'm working on a series of mirrors, which will refract the sun to burn Hitler's pants off, basically, and thus making him die of embarrassment.
Just straight along the front, just burn through. You just need enough energy to burn through the belt loops so that they fall. They just fall down.
I'm wearing gravity tinfoil around my legs and just wearing the pants. So I'm the test subject to see if it works.
He's the test subject. He's been very amenable to it. The problem is I have like 16 mirrors. They're all about a mirror, meter and a half across. And they're never in the right order to reflect the sun. So I need people to show up and just rotate them 90 degrees as appropriate to help us solve the Jamie's pants puzzle.
And if you do that, then you might get a shield that also has a mirror on it at the end, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess that would constitute a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Out.
And they were like slithering and like striking at me, and then I like backed up, and then there's like also spiders behind me, but luckily the spiders and the snakes didn't like each other, so they were kind of trying to fight, which gave me enough time to like kind of scramble to the next counter. And at one point a snake rises up my leg, and I wake up and my blanket's twisted around my leg, and I'm like and, like literally like kicking in my bed.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.